It's time for your Green and Gold update on Wisconsin Sports Daily, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
I will say, text line's popping today. It's popping, even though some of y'all are mad at me. I enjoy the banter. It's better if y'all called in, because then we can go back and forth about how much you dislike me or dislike my takes or whatever.
That would be pretty funny.
That's a lot better. I hate the text line, if we're being honest. I do. I can't stand it.
I only don't like because it jumbles up the messages sometimes.
It's not even that.
Like, that's the only reason
I liked it back in the day where I would take, 40, 50 calls in a show and back and forth we go and the give and the take back and forth. Now I'm reading text messages. Like, I appreciate y'all interacting and I will continue to read them because it adds something to the show at least. But I will always prefer a phone call over a tweet, a comment to the Dugout YouTube page, or a text. I'd much rather have calls because then you can have the conversation. Joining us now is the aforementioned, in the last segment at least, Chad Ryder, NFL.com, senior NFL draft analyst. Chad, thanks for coming on. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I just sent you a text so you get some positivity in your day and from text. So
nice.
I just wanted to do that for you. I know you love to be the guy that people hate. I know that about you. So I'm happy that you're happy being unhappy.
I don't love it by any stretch of the nation. I definitely don't love it. I'm used to it, but I definitely don't love being the guy that people hate. Okay. So let's go over what I've read and what I've watched as far as the minimal amount of highlights. I've not watched every single game of all Packer draft picks, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you I have all this knowledge. But I will tell you this. The Brandon Cisse pick, we'll start there at number 52. Young cat, obviously, they love young guys, like Kenny Clark was a young guy. Okay, fine. You get him. When I read one draft recap on this guy that said, better athlete than football player as of today, that's not great. When I watch a highlight reel of 5 or 6 minutes, and really the most impressive thing of the entire highlight reel that I watched was him coming up and making run stops on wide receiver screens or attacking the line of scrimmage and stuffing a running back. That, again, that's great. That's all positives, but, the ability to have one interception. On that one interception, there were 3 DBs around that wide receiver when that quarterback threw that ball. I mean, that's not exactly, woo, boy, what a great play. I look at him and go, okay, maybe in a couple years he ends up being really good. I just question how good he'll be this year, Mr. Ryder. What say you?
Yeah, I think Cisse was a guy that a lot of people were pumping his first-round picks early in the process, and I had him as a mid-second to early third. And they got him, in the mid-second. I'm not going to sit here and say he would be the top guy on my board. But I understood all the good defensive players were gone. They could have used an edge rusher, and maybe they could have gone for Kieron Crawford or Melville Height, somebody like that. But in terms of meeting, he is a very good athlete, and he does need to improve on his technique. And I think trusting his footwork, trusting his speed a little bit more. And that's why you have coaches in the NFL. And you take a guy that has a lot of good qualities and you coach him up and you hope that he can really be something by the, mid end of his rookie year. And so when you're talking about the 52nd overall pick, you're not talking about a guy that was really first round value. He's going to have some flaws in his game. And I can't say I loved it, but I don't hate it either.
Okay.
I think they definitely needed to add somebody,
yes,
a cornerback in that room. So, yeah. Look, their first round pick is Micah Parsons. And that's not terrible if he can stay on the field.
I want to go back to Cisse. We still haven't heard from Gannon, the defensive coordinator for the Packers. Apparently we're not going to. So we still don't really know what the heck he's going to run. Is Cisse better man or better zone corner?
Well, I think right now he's probably a better zone, but I think in man, he has the tools to do it. So I think, again, once he is actually coached up a little bit more in terms of, again, trusting his footwork, trusting his speed, and getting in better positions, he's going to be pretty sticky, and you have to trust your coaches to be able to get him in that spot.
Talk with Chad Ryder, NFL.com draft analyst, as we do every year. Here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, see Sparky Fiverr with you. All right, round three, number 77, Chris McClellan, the defensive tackle from Missouri. Again, same thing as I said about Cissé. I haven't sit here and tell you watch every game that he played at Missouri. I will tell you, from what I've watched, and you can very well correct me, watching them against higher ranked teams or better teams than Missouri, I didn't feel like he had a whole ton of push up the middle. I mean, I did see him grabbing guys going by in the run game, which is what I wanted. That was one of my prerequisites for a defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Somebody that can grab guys. So he's shown that ability a little bit. When he comes unblocked, you know, he's got enough to get to a quarterback at that point. So I like that. But again, I mean, I look at McClellan and go, he could be a rotation player for a number of years. I don't know if he's Pro Bowl, all pro type, though.
Well, yeah, you usually don't find those in the third round.
Right.
And so that's what he's going to be. But I think, I think he's a guy that has enough get off to get upfield if you put him in a gap. If you have guys next to him that are proved to be difference makers too. And I think you have to, like him and Zion Young could have done some really nice things together. Damon Wilson's pretty good on that Missouri defense too. But I think he can work himself into a pretty good penetrating defensive tackle. And again, third round, you're not going to get an all pro. You're going to get a guy that's really solid. And I think depending on how you want to use him, if you're using him as a guy that's going to eat up bodies in a 3-4 scheme, he can do some of that. As you mentioned, he can play the run, but he can also give you a little bit of get off upfield. And if he can do a little bit of that as part of the rotation, that's what the third round pick's job is.
Let's move on to round number four, Dennis Sutton, the edge from Penn State. Now, this guy we watched in the Big Ten, so this one I knew because I've seen him play probably more than I have the other two for certain. He seems like stiff to a degree, more upright, doesn't have a lot of bend. I've seen him drop underneath and get by a tackle every once again. Doesn't seem super quick to me. I mean, his RAS score, whatever, is great, and that's wonderful. But like watching him play, I don't know, man. I don't see like special necessarily pass rusher.
Yeah, and then that's why he left to the fourth round, because despite of the athleticism, which I thought, and the interesting thing about this draft is there wasn't a lot of guys with size and length. And so I thought maybe teams that were 4-3 teams would value that a little earlier. But like you said, the film wasn't there for him to be a day two pick. And so I can't really blame teams for not taking him in the fourth round. In the fourth round, if you take a guy that's got that kind of length, and he's not a poor effort player either.
Right.
Like some guys that in that position maybe just aren't as flexible. Maybe just aren't. And I think as a fourth round guy, he's going to be a guy that's going to flash some plays, and he's going to be a guy that if somebody gets hurt, you're not going to worry about him getting run over in the run game, or, you know, not taking advantage of, you know, an opportunity on a twist, things like that. He can do those things. So as a fourth round pick, I thought it was a pretty good deal for him. Though as a stand up rusher, I'm not sure he's not the mold you typically think of. But, you know, Baltimore has made a living off of getting guys like this in the fourth round and having them stick around for a long time and make a lot of plays. So just got to hope he can really maximize his potential, and you get him on day three. That's pretty good.
So with NFL.com senior draft analyst Chad Ryder, follow him on X at Chad_Ryder as we do this thing live there on X, on YouTube, on Instagram, live at WI Sports Radio, and on the Fan Facebook page as well at the Fan Milwaukee. What about Burden, the center guard from Kentucky? I would assume he's going to play center in the NFL. Why is it that he's there in round five?
Well, I think they need a lot of competition at center. So if Burton can give Sean Ryan competition at center, that's great. They also got some undrafted guys like Josh Jeske, Dylan Wade, Dylan Bird. I mean, they're taking a hard look on the interior of their offensive line. I think they needed to. So again, fifth round is about where I expected him to go. You know, tough guy, but also very athletic, underratedly athletic. So I totally understood that pick coming at that part of the draft.
All right, let's get to the last two. Jackson, the cornerback from Alabama. Compare and contrast him versus Cisse, their first pick in round two from South Carolina.
Well, Cisse has the short area quickness to be effective in man against, you know, quicker receivers. Whereas Jackson's, I mean, he ran a fast 40 and everything, but, you know, eye discipline wasn't. He's one of these Alabama corners that are either considered first round picked or go late in day three just because they don't. They're great when everything's in front of them and they can smash a guy, but in double moves, things like that, they just don't have the effort. And Jackson gave up a lot of plays. But again, sixth round, you take a chance on his body. You take a chance that you can continue to let him improve. Again, they need depth of some kind. And, you know, he kind of had the same feeling come like a Josh Jobe coming out of Alabama. And, you know, he's turned out to have an okay career. So I think he was Jackson was definitely looked at that point in the draft.
Packers trade 2-7 to get up to take Trey Smack, the kicker out of Florida. And everybody's acting like they're just going to give him the starting job. I don't think I'm there on that. I still think McManus probably ends up winning the job. What can you tell us about Trey Smack?
Well, other than the best name for a kicker ever, yes. I think he was going in round 7. He was the other kicker that was going to get drafted this year. So they needed to move up if they wanted him. And look, McManus missed some clutch kicks.
Yep.
And you can't have that with this team. You gotta have a guy that's going to step there in the clutch. It's a playoff team. They want to win a Super Bowl, and the guy's got to make clutch kicks. So he's going to be given every opportunity to win that job in the preseason, in training camp, to make sure they have a guy that they can count on. You know, and the big leg help, definitely, and for kickoffs and for longer field goals. So I think that's, you know, why they ended up pulling the trigger there.
All right, let's talk about undrafted free agents as far as the guys that they brought in there, as far as guys that may stand out to you. The one guy that I've seen get a lot of love on social media is Sturdivant, the wide receiver from Florida that everybody thinks they might have gotten a player there. Talk about him and anybody else that may have stood out to you.
Yeah, I was a little surprised, not shocked, but a little surprised that Sturdivant didn't get drafted. So to sign him afterwards is great. You know, a big body downfield guy that maybe didn't turn out to be the 5-star recruit that everybody kind of thought he would be coming into UCLA. But I think, again, he showed enough so he could be an effective number 2 or number 3 on the outside. He can get over cornerbacks with speed and with strength. So I was a little surprised he didn't get picked. But again, after the draft, I'm glad they didn't have to use draft capital to find a guy like that. That was great. And he does have some juice in his game.
I got one other name for you because Malik Willis is gone. So now everybody online is trying to find the next Malik Willis for Matt LaFleur to develop. And people have landed on Drones, the quarterback out of Virginia Tech that they picked up. I've watched him. He's definitely not as fast as Malik Willis. Got bigger. It looks like he's a more thicker body than Malik Willis as well. What can you tell us about Drones?
Yeah, Drones has a lot of work to do on his accuracy. And so I did not project him to be a draft pick. But as a guy at camp, you see the tools, you see how he learns, you see if you think he can make the jump to be a professional. He played a lot of football in college, and, you know, he does have the athleticism, but he never stuck out to me as a guy who's, was really a reliable passer in terms of timing and accuracy. But again, you pick him up after the draft, you see what you got, and you really didn't have to spend anything on him.
In this division, whose draft did you like the best?
Let's see. I think I probably rated the Bears the best. Yeah, and because I projected Dylan Tinneman, the safety from Oregon, going to them in my last 3 mock drafts. So that was, you know, as expected. Logan Jones, really good center. Sam Rush from Stanford, really good tight end. He was a very good bargain. Malik Muhammad, I thought the Bears did a lot of good things in this draft.
There he is, Chad Ryder. Follow him on X at Chad_Ryder, NFL draft analyst over there at NFL.com. Now he just kicks up, puts his feet up, and waits for college football to start, right, Chad? Are you pretty much on vacation for 3 months?
That would be no. I've got a watch list for 2027 out on Twitter if anybody wants to check it out. And I start next week on next year's draft.
Next week?
Yeah.
That seems awfully soon. They don't give you like a little bit of a break to kind of figure this out?
I don't give myself too much of a break because one of my jobs is to produce a lot of information on 1,300 players. And if I start that in September, I am out of luck.
Yeah, I would agree. So I've got one more stat for you. I want to see your thoughts on this because you live here in the state of Wisconsin. Colton Bartholomew from the Wisconsin State Journal. The Badgers didn't have a player picked in the first three rounds of the NFL draft for the third year in a row. The first time this has happened three straight years since 1982 through 1984. Now, they didn't get one drafted overall by the time this whole thing was said and done. I mean, that's a pretty bad three-year stretch.
Yeah, it is not good. It is not good. Every quarterback they've had has gotten injured. The offensive linemen they haven't really worked out. They haven't had the running backs they typically have. The program has been on a downward. Well, it's been tough for them since the Pac-12 teams came in, and it's continued to be that. And then Indiana does what they did, and the juice just hasn't been there for the Badgers the last couple of years. So hopefully they'll be able to turn that around sooner than later.
Chad Ryder, NFL draft analyst, NFL.com. Follow him on X at Chad_Ryder. Chad, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you.